This recording and all its contents are copyright of Dr. Graham Blackwell of Transfinite Mind, that's all one word, .com. Find others in this series at www.hiari, that's H-I-A-R-I, .org. Okay, so this is the first in our series of podcasts on how it all really is. A closer look into aspects of reality that may actually be rather different from how we've always thought. Every time we identify such a possible difference, we're opening up a way into a completely new field of research that could reveal major opportunities we never even knew existed. Today, we're looking at randomness, and particularly the randomness of quantum mechanics. Now, quantum mechanics, QM for short, is generally reckoned to be by far the most successful model or description we've ever had of the behaviour of particles and energy. But Einstein was certain it was incomplete, that there were gaps in the QM model. If we can fill in any of those gaps, explain any unexplained bits, then we might find possibilities in the reality we live in that we couldn't see before. We all see randomness in all sorts of situations every day. When we toss the dice in a game of Monopoly, buy a scratch card, or watch the numbers coming up in the lottery, that's randomness. When three buses come by our city bus stop in the space of 2 minutes, then none come by for the next 20 minutes, that's randomness. When there are two people in front of me in the coffee shop queue one day, five the next, and none the next, that's randomness. Randomness is everywhere. It's part of our lives. In fact, it's more a part of our lives than we might think. Every quantum event, every quantum measurement, has a built-in randomness factor. And everything that happens everywhere is a string of quantum events. In QM, a particle, or a whole collection of particles, let's call it a thing, anything is described by a quantum wave equation. Until someone measures properties of that thing, or even observes it, it exists in a whole number of states simultaneously, what we call a quantum superposition of states. This is fact, by the way. It's the principle behind quantum computing. Observation or measurement fixes it in one of those states, and according to the official version of QM, the state it fixes on is entirely random, no underlying cause. That's what Schrödinger's cat is all about. I'm assuming you've heard of Schrödinger's cat. Schrödinger, who wrote that quantum wave equation, agreed with Einstein's view that God doesn't play dice. That is, that these outcomes aren't purely random. He proposed a thought experiment. Think of a cat placed in a box with a capsule of poison gas that could be broken by a radioactive atom decaying, a random quantum event. Until someone checked on that atom, by opening the box, it would be in quantum superposition, both decayed and not decayed. So the gas would be both released and not released. So the cat would be both dead and not dead. Yes, this is real serious stuff, no kidding. By opening the box to investigate, an observer would force the atom, gas capsule, and cat to each be in one of their two possible states. So the observer could be considered responsible for killing the cat, if that's the way it turns out, by opening the box, rather than leaving it in its dead, not dead state. Schrödinger proposed this situation to show how ludicrous the idea was. But the fate of that cat has been a hot topic in serious physics circles for over 80 years now. So let's look back at those dice, those lottery numbers, those buses, that deli queue. In every one of these cases, the apparent randomness is a result of specific causes. Air currents, the twist of a hand, initial configuration of the lottery balls and the mechanics of the device selecting them, traffic conditions and passengers getting on and off buses, all sorts of reasons for people taking coffee breaks at different times. Nowhere in nature is there such a thing as a truly random event. Even the fall of a leaf is due to conditions in the plant, temperature and humidity, air flows, maybe even an insect nudging it. So, if the randomness of QM is truly random, without any underlying cause, it's totally different from any other so-called random event in the universe, a completely unique concept. It's also uniquely difficult to explain. Random numbers don't just happen, they're actually very difficult to generate. Computer programmers and scientists work very hard to produce convincing pseudo-random numbers. The idea of random numbers just popping out of the ether endlessly, with no process or set of circumstances to generate them, is completely contrary to everything we know about randomness. So where do these random factors appear from, that turn up in every quantum event in the universe? Trillions of them every second, for example, in a single small rain cloud. More on that in a minute. No, this idea is quite unbelievable. It's so unbelievable that one body of eminent physicists has come up with what they reckon is an alternative explanation. And that explanation is, if anything, more unlikely than randomness without a cause. Their many worlds interpretation, MWI for short, is actually quite simple. When a quantum event has two or more possible outcomes, both or all of these outcomes actually happen, and the universe becomes two or more universes, each following one of those options. It's like as if you arrive at a road junction where you could turn either left or right. You do both, and in doing so you spawn two separate universes. In one you turn left, and everything after that follows on from that choice. In the other you turn right, and your life from there on takes a different direction, and the rest of the universe follows suit. There are two separate yous in two separate universes, and each won't even know that the other one exists. According to MWI, this is happening countless times a second with every quantum event that happens. Let's put this in perspective. Say you're looking at a little cloud way up in the sky. That cloud is changing shape, getting larger or smaller, all the time. This tells us that water molecules in that cloud are constantly changing from vapor into liquid H2O droplets and back again. Trillions of quantum events every second. Even if we don't see any changes, cloud physics tells us that these transitions, every one involving one or more quantum events, are happening constantly. And every one of those quantum events clones more new universes, each one just one water molecule different from another. Not just a new cloud, not even just a new Earth, a complete new universe, as that one water droplet could change the course of history. MWI says these changes don't even need to be observed, since it's just the natural progression of a wave equation that has two or more possible outcomes. If we think of just two molecules changing state, each one doubles the number of universes, so 2 times 2, or 4 universes from one. 10 state changes, 2 times 2 times 2 times 10 times, or 1,000 new universes. 20 changes, 1,000,000 new universes. All down to state changes in one tiny corner of one little cloud. And every new universe contains everything in the universe that it's cloned from. All those galaxies, all those worlds, all those people, creatures, mountains, and so on, all because one water molecule in one little cloud changed from liquid to vapor, or vice versa. Okay, so let's up the ante a bit. As I'm recording this, the sky is a blanket of cloud, not a patch of blue to be seen anywhere. How many quantum state changes might there be per second in all those thousands of square miles of cloud? The number of new universes per second would be off the scale in any form of measurement we could dream up. If we extend that to all the clouds around the world, the term mind-boggling doesn't even begin to cover it. That's just on Earth. Have you seen any of the Hubble pictures of Jupiter? The atmosphere of Jupiter is well over 1,000 times that of Earth, and its wall-to-wall clouds, highly active clouds. Enough said. So far, we just talked clouds, and just in our solar system. Every star, and there are quite a lot out there, is a seething mass of plasma whose rate of quantum events would make even Jupiter look pretty tame. And between those stars are vast clouds of interstellar gases doing the quantum thing like there's no tomorrow. We haven't even considered all the other quantum events, effectively everything that's happening across the universe. Just as a few examples here on Earth, every slightest twitch in a muscle anywhere, every slightest sound you hear, every photon of light absorbed by a leaf or a blade of grass, every spark in an automobile engine running at thousands of revs a minute, every pixel on a computer or smartphone screen. Every one of these involves a cascade of quantum events, bringing with it a cascade of new universes. How many leaves, blades of grass, automobiles, computers or smartphones do you reckon there are across the planet? Okay, you're probably getting the picture. But before we leave it, we should just note that whatever our cosmos is doing by way of quantum events and new universes, it's just one of an unimaginable number that's been increasing exponentially at an unbelievable rate, a rate that we couldn't even guess at, since the original universe kicked off almost 14 billion years ago. If MWI is to be believed. Some people say, okay, so there's an infinite number of universes. Big deal. If it's infinite, it makes no difference whether it's just infinite or big infinite. Infinity is infinity. That's not strictly so. There are different orders of infinity, giving rise to transfinite numbers, numbers beyond infinity. Hence the name of my publishing company, Transfinite Mind. We can safely say that the number of universes, according to MWI, would be of a very high order indeed. Let's just remind ourselves before moving on that replicating a complete universe means replicating everything about it. We're not talking about cloning a sheep here or 3D printing a replica of a machine part. Advocates of MWI say they're only talking about replicating one thing, a universe. But when that one thing is every object, every living creature, every cloud of gas, every strand of energy in a whole universe, that just one thing is more than a bit misleading. Also, of course, that just one thing includes all the physical laws and all the very specific universal constants that make our universe tick so smoothly. More on this in the next post. Okay, so what we have available from conventional science is one of two options. Either every quantum event, everywhere in the universe, has an outcome that's truly random, with no causative factors, a concept for which there's absolutely no precedent and no possible explanation, or every quantum event, everywhere in the universe, that's every smallest thing that happens anywhere, gives rise to at least one additional complete universe, possibly more. and every one of those extra universes is multiplying at the same rate. There's no evidence, and no explanation, for this either. As well as stretching credulity to breaking point, either of these would mean that we have absolutely no control over our circumstances or our future. We might kid ourselves that we have free will, but in fact we're totally subject to mechanistic physical laws and, possibly, the caprices of undirected utter randomness. If you believe either of these, then there's no point in you listening to the next post, since on those terms it won't change anything. But you might anyway, if those mechanistic and random processes make your brain think it's a good thing to do. If, on the other hand, you think there may be more to it than this, it could be that the next post will give you some useful ideas to think about. It's called Choices. In the meantime, you may like to check out www.transfinitemind, or one word, .com. While you're there, be sure to take a look at the Vikandor trilogy, a sci-fi series with a difference that explores where these ideas might possibly take us.